The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to a special edition of the Sprint Car Show. It's the Central Pennsylvania Sprint Car Season Preview. Today, we'll talk with Greg Hodnett, Pat Kennan, and Tim Waugeman. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. By Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. And by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway. Championship race teams like Donnie Schatz depend on quality parts to make it through a season. That's why they and other champions rely on Rod Ends from Rod End Supply.
Hi, this is Bob Douglas, and for 23 years, we have been delivering the best quality rod ends on the market, with on-time deliveries and customer service second to none. And this philosophy will continue.
To learn more about Rod End Supply, call them toll-free at 1-800-284-2902 or visit them online at rodendsupply.com. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
Hi, this is Nicole Bauer. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to our special preview here of the Pennsylvania Sprint Car season on the DirtTrackChannel.com as part of our Sprint Car Show coverage. We're joined now by the driver of the Trone Outdoor Motorsports number 39, the current Williams Grove Speedway track champion for the second time in his career at Thomasville, Pennsylvania. We welcome in Greg Hodnett to the broadcast. Greg, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate you guys having us back.
Sure thing. Well, congratulations on picking up another championship at Williams Grove. And I went back to the beginning of last year. You guys did not qualify on the opening night, but were still able to pick up a handful of wins and the championship. What did you guys do to turn things around after getting that DNQ on the first night to come away with another championship?
Well, to be honest with you, we kind of didn't even really plan on running for it because, again, the first night we got in a qualifying position in the heat race, but blew a motor. And I think at that particular time, they had 42 cars or something like that. So we kind of decided, you know what, it's not even worth starting last in the B main, trying to kill ourselves, even make the A main, and trying to kill ourselves to go up through. We're going to tear up more stuff, probably trying to make it up through there than it's worth. So we decided just to load up and leave. And it looked pretty bleak from that point, to be honest with you. I think after the first two or three weeks, we were still sitting around 20th. But, you know, it's a long season, and we just started compiling very consistent finishes along with a few wins. And, you know, when the big thing is when the Outlaws come to town, you have to run well, because that's when there's a lot more cars that basically can make or break your, if you want to call it, points ability to gain or lose points. It happens there because there's so many other cars. You could be, like, on a normal weekend, if you have only 26 cars, I mean, basically, if you just make the show, you know, you one guy can win, and as long as you finish, you could finish in top 15 or whatever. But on an outlaw weekend, it's very easy to not make the race and one of your competitors win the race. And fortunately for us, the outlaw weekends, we made up a lot of ground because I think we ran in the top three at all but the National Open when I ran over somebody and had to come from last up to 10th. So, you know, we ran in top 10 in all those races and top three of all but one. So that made up a lot of ground where others struggled a little bit. So it just happened to be circumstances and consistent finishes that got us back into the kind of the mix.
Now, you mentioned the World of Outlaws. Of course, you ran with the World of Outlaws for a number of years before coming here to Central Pennsylvania. And one of your counterparts, Mr. Pittman, he ran the Outlaws, came here to Central Pennsylvania, now back on the Outlaw Tour. And I was reading the press release, and he said it wasn't a knock on Pennsylvania, but he thought that the best winged sprint car drivers, and I'm paraphrasing here, was the drivers on the World of Outlaws. When you first came off the Outlaw Tour and came here to Central Pennsylvania, what did you find was the most intriguing thing about the competitiveness of this series on a week in and week out? And would you agree that, again, not knocking, but are the Outlaw drivers better, or is it stiffer competition on a weekly basis here that makes the sprint car drivers in Central Pennsylvania the best regular weekly drivers in the world?
Well, I think it's a twofold situation. For competing here, the guys that run these tracks every week and the teams that run these tracks every week are as good here as anyone in the world. Now, when you take as far as drivers that can go to anywhere in the world and run competitively, I think the World of Outlaw drivers probably have an advantage because they see so many different circumstances, so many different tracks, so many different track conditions that I think their ability to adapt is greater. And again, and as with Darren had mentioned, it's not a knock on any drivers or from here, there, or indifferent. It's just, you know, they just have more experience at many different venues. But they will tell you when they come here, they don't look forward to it because there are so many competitive drivers and teams here, meaning that when they show up here, anybody that we race with any week on a weekly basis can literally win. And, you know, there for a long stretch, you know, a lot of the guys did. And it just shows the competitiveness of the guys and the drivers and the teams that we have here and the crew guys that we have here to be able to compete against anybody in the world, you know, obviously when they race on our turf. Now, when we go away, you know, sometimes we run well and sometimes we don't as a group, but I would say that they have an advantage on the road a little more than we do, just because they see so many different situations.
And for you personally, Greg, when you first came here, what was the biggest learning curve that you had to adjust to in racing competitively here in Central Pennsylvania?
I think there's a big speed differential between, and not so much anymore because the parity is pretty high. Everybody's kind of fairly close to the same speed. But what has happened a long time ago, there's a pretty big disparity of speed from a guy who was handicapped on the front row to someone who was starting 12th. And usually at an outlaw event, you know, those guys drive so hard all the time that there's not a big disparity in speed. So what happens is when you roll down in the first corner of the first turn, you can pretty much be 99.9% guaranteed that it's on. Like, it's as hard as you want to go. Nobody's checking up in front of you. Nobody's slowing down. And sometimes when you have in the handicap system here, one of the things I had to get used to is on the first lap, there's so much going on because, say, a guy that was handicapped on the front, if you put a clock on him, he could be up to, you know, at one time it was a second and a half slower than the guy starting 12th. If you were just to say, okay, just go out, run as hard as you can, well, that handicapped guy sometimes would be up to a second and a half slower than the guy starting 12th. So when you're kind of used to going a certain speed, you have to adapt back the other way to where you have to slow down and be able to maneuver when you do slow down. And that was a big thing to adapt to, because usually when you run, the harder you run, you know, the tighter you can run the car, you can, you know, there's just certain things you can do when you definitely know, hey, I'm running basically wide open for 30 laps and I'm not checking up. Well, that's a different mindset than what you have to have when you race around here, it seems like, because the track configurations and the track surfaces and, of course, the way the handicapping system, it doesn't really allow you to do that. So I kind of have to change your thought process when you leave here and go to Knoxville, or you leave here and go to Eldora, which, and, you know, we've done well at some of those places. That's not what I'm saying, but it's just an adaptation that I think you have to make when you race here locally.
And this year, for the first time in several years, we'll be having the Hoosier tires back on the cars after the deal with Goodyear was up. I want to get a thought from you from a driver's standpoint, and not looking to bash anybody here, but when you went to the Goodyears after the Hoosiers, what was it about the tires that you could tell was making the car different, and what will having the Hoosier tires back on the car do for racing here in Central Pennsylvania this year?
You know, Sean, I'm not really sure. I mean, as far as for what the Goodyears did, it was just a different feel. I mean, we made a ton of changes trying to predict what it was going to do, where in essence we probably shouldn't have changed a whole lot of anyway, because we ended up going kind of back to where fairly close to our baseline with, you know, adjustments here and there, but nothing major. So, you know, that as far as for what the Goodyears dictated, we just adapted and tried to manipulate what they asked for, both as a driver and as a car, and tried to push them as hard as you could. And you know, they were fairly durable, but because they were a little harder, a little different rubber, but they just felt different. And you know, which, you know, I've been in fortunate and unfortunate to be in different cars with different crews and different shocks and different, a little bit of different everything, and have to adapt. So to me, it wasn't that huge of a deal. It was just, okay, we need to work on it to get it to feel the best I can feel and to do the things I want to do. And then if that's as good as it gets, then that's just as good as it gets. And you kind of move on. As far as for the Hoosier, what is going to happen now, I really don't know, because this is a harder Hoosier tire than we've ever run, you know, as far as for our options. This is going to be a harder one than we usually run. And also, it's going to be a little narrower. You know, normally we have an 18-inch wide tread pattern, and now it's going to be 16.
Hmm.
And the sidewall difference is, I would say minute, but it's still stiffer than what it was. So there's some things about this tire that is not even remotely close to an open Hoosier tire that we used to run, you know, back in the early 2000s or so, you know, 10 years ago. So because of that, and I haven't run them, I can't really tell you what it's going to do, to be honest.
It sounds like it's going to be then a very interesting early part of the season for drivers to try to get used to. A tire that's 2 inches smaller. What would be the reasoning going from an 18-inch, and I guess that would be traditional, down to a 16-inch?
Well, I think their theory has always been trying to unhook the cars to make them more, put it more in the driver's hands, because if you have less tire, just say the contact patch, if you will, is 2 inches narrower, which it is, their thought process is, okay, well, if we get less tire on the ground, then basically we are going to eliminate stick and drive, which then the driver and the crew and the crew chief and the setups and everything comes back into play, instead of just making it to where you can just run wherever, however, and, you know, just kind of throw something at it and it still works as far as your car set up and the way you drive, then it's going to take a little bit of a thought process, and that's kind of the theory behind it. Now, whether that happens or not, I don't know. It seems like the guys that are competitive with Hoosiers, whether it's an open tire or some type of a spec tire or Goodyears when they're a spec tire, the same guys seem to figure it out. So I don't really foresee a whole lot different as far as the guys are going to be competitive. And hopefully we can, you know, adapt accordingly and be competitive also.
So what's on tap for you folks this year in terms of going after track championships? Are you going to do a little more traveling? What type of schedule are you folks looking at?
You know, I don't know. We're just kind of shooting from the hip. And, you know, John Trone from, you know, our owner, we basically haven't, he has never won a Williams Grove Championship. Now we accomplished that for him. So we kind of have kind of an open mind as to what direction we're going to try to to go in. So, you know, we'll just start off racing and see where we're at and see what kind of schedule we can come up with and, you know, try to hit obviously the bigger races. And I wouldn't confine ourselves to being here. Now, we didn't either last year, but it kind of worked out that way, that it kind of made sense by mid-July to kind of stay around here and try to accomplish some of those goals for John, because he's never done it. And so we stayed around here a little more than what we had planned. But, you know, you never know. We have a tentative plan maybe to go out and about, you know, maybe to Knoxville a few times before the Nationals. But, you know, for that to come to fruition, a lot of things have to happen. And you pretty much have to give up any thoughts of running around here for any championships. So we've been able to win championships, still going to Nationals and Eldora at times. But, you know, we just have to see what the how things were unfolding at that time.
As for yourself, Greg, as a driver, what other goals are out there that you like to accomplish in terms of prestigious wins or tracks that you have not won at but have raced at throughout your career?
Well, I mean, most of the tracks around here, we've been very fortunate and been competitive and been able to win a lot of races around here. The thing that I think most people, anybody that drives a sprint car, of course, would probably say is we'd love to be able to be more competitive at the Nationals. I've run second there in top five, I think, three times. And but to be able to win that would be, you know, something that any sprint car driver in the world would aspire to achieve. So obviously that's one of our main goals. But to be honest with you, that's one of the reasons we think we need to get out there more, because showing up one time a year makes it really, really tough to be competitive, because the last few years we just haven't been that fast. And kind of qualify okay, but we don't race well, which we know we have some work to do. I have work to do. So we need to get out there a few times. But that's big on our priority list. We just have to figure out how to make it happen. You know, honestly, I don't mind racing local. I think it's fun. It's easy. As far as for logistically, it's so much easier than traveling all over the country and, you know, beating yourself to death to try to go to races. Now, obviously, they don't pay as well as the outlaw things, but from that standpoint, you know, I have a family and it's nice to be home, so I don't really have to race anywhere but here. But if I was going to go anywhere, again, Knoxville, Eldora, some of the bigger races, obviously, we'd like to be a bit more competitive. You know, at the end of the year, down in Charlotte, we think we've run the top five from 16th the last 2 years, so we just need to, I'd like to get a little better, you know, be a little more competitive, represent our area a little better when we do go away. We struggled in Florida the last couple of years and was one of the contributing factors of not going this year to reallocate those funds for maybe trying to go out to Knoxville. So, you know, just a few things that we'd like to be more competitive when we do go wherever we go. That's one of our priorities. But other than that, just getting out to Knoxville, at least, you know, for the Nationals, maybe more, trying to be as competitive. And, you know, some place I've never won at that I've run okay at is Lauderville. I just thought about it now when you were speaking of it. We've led races out there. Even the last outlaw race, actually Stewart ended up winning the thing. We led it for 18 laps or something like that. So I'd like to go out there and do better, you know, out in Western PA than we have. But, you know, it's tough. Those guys are tough out there. And, of course, when you add the outlaws there, it's, you know, it's tough to go out there and win those races. So, you know, just being competitive when we go out representing our area would be something that we look forward to.
Yeah, you're correct. It's a great little track out there, Lernerville. You got Lernerville, Mercer, Sharon, a number of tracks out there. And the Western Pennsylvania boys are tough on their home turf as well. Maybe the one thing on the bucket list that we could both work on is getting Lee to overcome his superstitions about in-car cameras one of these days.
Good luck there.
I know, because we still haven't had a flip with an in-car camera, but of course, now that I say that,
it hasn't been on my car either.
Huh?
It hasn't been on my car either.
Though. Right. Well, maybe one of these days before you guys decide to finally hang it up somewhere, hopefully in another oh, good number of years down the road. Maybe one of these days Lee will let us do it, but we respect that, and we appreciate it, but it would be pretty nice. And we want to thank you, Greg, for taking time out to join us here on our Pennsylvania Sprint Car special as we look forward to the 2013 season. And again, congratulations on picking up your second track championship at Williams Grove, and wish you guys all the best for a safe and successful 2013 season.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Greg Hodnett joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and be back with more of our show right after this.
The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, Shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
Hi, this is Lance DeDuise, and you're listening to the Sprint Car Show, Sean Wood.
And welcome back to our special Pennsylvania Sprint Car preview here on the Sprint Car Show on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We're joined now by the 358 Sprint Car Champion at both the Sillins Grove and Williams Grove Speedways, Pat Cannon. Pat, as always, a pleasure to speak with you, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, glad to be back. It's you do a good thing here for Sprint Car Racing, so I'm just glad to be able to talk to you.
Well, we appreciate those kind words. Well, first off, congratulations on the championships once again at Sillins Grove and Williams Grove. Let's talk a little bit about the Williams Grove Championship first. You had a pretty good battle there with Eric Tomasek, those folks leading the points for a while, but it was a come-from-behind championship. How were you guys able to pull off the championship last year?
Yeah, we kind of got squeezed down to the wire there. We kind of put ourselves in that position to have to do that. We skipped the race to run a 360 show up at Sillins Grove, and kind of put us behind because there was a middle part of the season where we really weren't that good at all, to our normal standards, anyways, in the 358 division. So we kind of got a little behind there and just kind of had to chip away at it. And it came down to the last 2-3 months of the season. We really just kind of hit on a few things that just really helped, and we just kind of took off and. You know, I think it was from about mid-August on. It didn't matter where we run or kind of whatever division we ran. I think we finished about in the top three just about every night. So when you could string a bunch of good finishes together, it kind of the points take care of themselves.
And it's not like you're a stranger to Williams Grove Speedway's victory lane. You've been there quite a few times. You've had some other drivers come up, like Mark Smith's really starting to get his program together down there. What do you see as the biggest threat to you guys? If somebody was going to unseat you, who would you say would have the best possibility in 2013 down at Williams Grove?
Well, on the 358 side there, Adrian Schaefer has been running real consistent, real well lately. Mark's shown some good speed too here on occasion. He's, you know, and I don't know if he's going to put, he always seems to take a few nights off, so to put a whole season together might be a little difficult for him to make a run for the championship. I don't know what his plans are, but and Tomasek again, and guys like that. I mean, there's a real good solid group of guys, and now Kevin now said he's going to run for the championship this year. So there's going to be a good solid group of guys. At this time, we're not planning on running for the 3DA championship down there. We plan on running more 410 races this year. So hopefully we can get something going there this year.
Well, that's very interesting. That sort of kills my next question, but I'll ask it anyway, because I was going to ask you, when you guys came out in the courses, as it has been documented this year, Hoosier is now back, and the 358s were on the Hoosiers, but you had the Goodyear tires that were being run by the 410s. Now everybody basically is back on Hoosier. As a driver, what was it like trying to get a handle on the track with the two different compounds And this year, how do you think the 358s will react with the new harder tire compound that are going to be on the 410s? Will that put down a different type of rubber?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be different. I mean, they shrunk the tire and made it, quite a bit harder than what we consistently run week in and week out. It's definitely going to be different all the way around. It was always different, more going back and forth between the Goodyears and the Hoosiers. It's more the construction of the tire. It was really constructed a lot different, and so that made it different. It had different growth patterns compared to the two, and different characteristics of sidewalls and stuff made the tire flex differently, and conversely affected how the car handled. So we didn't run the Goodyears a lot, so it always was a definite extra challenge whenever we had to run them. But this year it's going to be the same tire. Is it the right tire or the wrong tire? I really don't know, but everybody's going to be on the same tire. So we'll see. That should help some of the crossover, between divisions. Should make at least take one variable out of, trying to learn a new car or try to get up to speed quick when you jump into something different, week in and week out.
I thought it was quite interesting that they went to a 16-inch tire instead of the traditional 18-inch tire. I wonder what they were thinking in terms of trying to unhook the tire. Could you explain to the fans how much 2 inches of difference in the size of a tire will make in terms of unhooking the car as they are hoping to do?
Yeah, I really don't know how much it's going to unhook the cars. I'm an advocate. You need to have grip to actually pass and make good racing. So the whole idea of unhooking these cars by taking away the tires is somewhat of not the path I would have went down or chose to do, because I always made the analogy that if you're driving down the road, down the highway, you come up behind someone, you want to pass them, you just pull out and pass, no problem. Now put ice on it, take away all your grip, put ice on the road. If you come up behind somebody, you ain't going to just drive out and pass them. You're going to be, hesitant, not be able to make the car go exactly where you want it to and make it difficult. You might not even pass them. So, I don't know. The whole, unhook the car theory is kind of foreign to me, and how that's going to work for better racing. How's it going to work in the end? I really don't know, because they shrunk the tire to try to take away some grip. But they also made the compound harder. So you actually, over the long run on a long race, you actually might end up getting more grip, because actually the tire will actually come up to temperature and be in the right zone to race on. So at this point, I really don't know how it's all going to pan out. But when you do have the harder compound and you get a long green flag run and then it cools off, you could seal the tires and never get any heat back in the tires again. So it's going to be something that's going to, we're going to have to deal with throughout the whole year and to see how it plays out.
In terms of 410s, what do you have on tap as a schedule for 2013?
Yeah, we're just kind of trying to lay that out last week, actually this past week here. Schedules are kind of late coming out, it seemed like, this year. But we're planning on what we're kind of shooting for right now is running the draw and time trial shows at the Grove, 410-wise. All the Sealands Grove 410 shows. Our Saturday nights probably will not be consistently at Sealands Grove every week. We're definitely going to be there a bunch of times, but we are going to try to, hit Port Royal for some of the better paying time trial shows and stuff like that. And try to mix some of that in. So we're going to have a pretty good mix of different divisions and different type of racing this year.
Well, you had great success last year in Sealands Grove. You're the only driver to win in all three series, 358, 360, and the 410. What is it about you guys and that Highlands team that just has that right combination to keep getting the victory lane year in and year out?
Well, we just all work together. We kind of got a fairly good baseline several years back, and we've kind of morphed that into where we are now. I mean, everything's always changing here because things in racing and everything always changes. So, we keep working out. But we just understand each other well and work well together, which is a good point. And, if you look at Sealands Grove and Williams Grove, we've liked the tracks and had good success over the years. And, it all just goes together to having a successful team. So, hopefully we can find. I'm kind of excited. I think we got some good things going on with our shock package this year, and we kind of found at the end of last year there, and I hope it translates to some success this year. So we'll have to see, but this sport's got many highs and lows, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of them this season, always.
Yeah, that's very true. So it is safe to say then you will not be defending your 358 title at Siouxland Grove.
No, not this time as the way the schedule looks. No.
What's the overall goals for this upcoming season?
Goals that we want to kind of, well, to start, we're getting a new 410 to get us able to run some more shows. So we want to be able to figure out this tire, figure out what it's going to take, and hopefully get our 410 program on track, and be able to, to put ourselves into position to get a few, few wins there. I think would be real successful, and then kind of, just up to our normal standard of, just getting some 388, 360 wins or whatever we race in, but we got to figure out how to put ourselves in position, and we'll go from there. It's kind of going to be a different thing than what we've done in the past, but, we got some new challenges we're trying to take on, try to better ourselves as a team, and hopefully we get some positive results out of that, so we'll see how it all goes.
So what led to you guys deciding to go and not so much chase championships, but go explore a little more 410 racing?
A lot of times. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's great. I don't think the dog got the question.
Yeah, it just we wanted to try to run into, try something a little different, I love running at Siouxland Grove, and I always will love, we're going to be there plenty of times racing, believe me. It was some different things intrigued us to try to do, try to compete with some top teams in the area and everything like that, which I think we kind of, over the last few years been building ourselves up, and, we're in position to be able to, compete at a high level, I think, with the teams, which we've been, the few times we were able to do that last year, we always seem to have decent success with, so. Just a new challenge, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, speaking of new challenge, you've been racing since your quarter midget days back in '91, and with regards to your late father, who ran the modifieds at Flemington and East Windsor, that's about the only machine that you have not driven that's on your resume. Any thoughts down the road that you might like to hop in a ground pounder and try her out once or twice?
It'd be intriguing. Yeah, I don't know. They're a completely different animal than anything I've been used to doing. So, I don't know. The opportunity presented itself, you never know. But they're definitely, I love watching them. We'll see. You never know what'll happen down the road.
Well, Pat, as always, we greatly appreciate your time. And again, congratulations on the championships and best of luck as you guys try some new endeavors for the upcoming 2013 season. Also, have a safe race season.
Okay, thank you.
Pat Kennan, the 2012 Siouxland Grove and Williams Grove 358 Sprint Car Champion, joining us here on our Pennsylvania Sprint Car Preview Show. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Mike Erdley, and you're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show as we continue on with our special Pennsylvania Sprint Car season preview. And we're joined now by the 358 track champion at Lincoln and at Trailways. We welcome in Tim Wagaman. Tim, good to talk with you. Welcome to the show.
Nice to talk to you, Sean. I'm glad glad you could have me on.
Sure thing. Well, hey, we talk sprint car racing here on the Sprint Car Show, whether it's 358s or 410s or 305s or 360s or even non-wing, but I'm sorry, that's a bad word here in central Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, it's traditional sprint cars is what started out back in the day. You have been around racing for quite some time, and I was unaware. Your uncle is Jeff Rohrbaugh. So in reading on your website, your dad took you to the races when you were a youngster. What's some of your earliest recollections, and what tracks did you guys go to back when you were a kid?
We went all over. We primarily followed Bobby Allen. My dad worked on his race cars before I was born, so he had a good relationship with him. And then, you know, my earliest recollection is we still have a picture in our shop of me standing on Bobby Allen's right front tire at Hagerstown after he won in 1985.
Oh, wow.
So I was 3 years old, and, you know, that's, you know, one of my biggest and best memories, you know, growing up. And that, you know, started the ball rolling.
Geez, I graduated in 1985. Don't I feel old right now? That was from high school,
yeah,
folks.
Not too old. Not too old.
Well, that's pretty neat to be able to have that memory, that picture there of Bobby Allen. So one would have to take a pretty educated guess. You were a Bobby Allen fan, but as you were starting to grow up and of course, a fan of your Uncle Jeff's, did you have other drivers that you enjoyed watching as time went on?
I was pretty much the people that are the gassers are the ones that I, you know, kind of found most exciting. But then you get, like, Bobby Allen, he was a real finesse driver, so you tend to appreciate guys like that, too. I mean, it was him and Sammy Swindell when I was growing up. I thought those were the two guys to look up to, and, you know, that's, you know, Sammy was the gasser, and Bobby was the guy that was the finesse guy. And, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, I hopefully I drive a little bit in the middle. But I guess it's different night to night, I think.
I was just going to ask you, did you pattern your driving style after anybody in particular, or did you take a little piece from one guy here, one guy there, and then try to develop your own driving style?
Well, early on in my career, I kind of just wanted to gain the respect of the drivers around me. You know, and being in the 358s, I got to talk to those guys a lot more, like Dale Hamaker and Jeff Rohrbaugh and guys like that. So I kind of tried to put a little bit of everybody together. That way, you know, if I got their respect, I think that, you know, that would make me a better driver. And, you know, I think I was successful in doing that. And, you know, as the years progress here, I think that I'm getting a lot more aggressive. A lot of people say that I was never real aggressive or anything like that, but I think that I'm getting a lot better at that.
And, you know, as I look at it and as I watch drivers, I sometimes wonder, when it comes down to being an aggressive driver, at what point as time goes on do you realize that being aggressive can get you to a win and maybe get you noticed by a race team if that is a goal that a driver has, but at the same time, when does that little internal clock go, you know what, maybe we need to back down just a little bit and try to, you know, like Bobby Allen, be a little more finesse. Do you find yourself getting in a situation where sometimes you want to be really aggressive as you're starting to be now, and that adrenaline starts taking over and you almost have to maybe dial it down a notch or two to maybe not just save the equipment, but to come away with a good finish as you are chasing track championships?
Yeah, I think you don't have a whole lot of time to think. I mean, you know, me being in the short track, you know, trailways, you know, like a third mile, I think, or something shorter than that. I'm not sure what it is. And Lincoln being a 3/8, it's tough. I mean, you don't really have a lot of time to think. And I know the last night over there, we were really good. And I was really overdriving the car, and at one point I said to myself, you just really need to calm down and just hit your marks. And after that, we got a lot faster. And you don't get a whole lot of time to do that, but, you know, at some point you have to at times.
You came into the final night at Trailways 16 points behind the points leader, and you walk away with the points championship. Tell me about the season. Was there anything, any major factors that helped you stay in the points hunt, and what was that final night like as the two drivers in front of you unfortunately fell victim to mechanical issues and you wound up with a championship?
in the middle of the season there, we weren't racing real well. We didn't really have a good night over there. We were just consistent 6th, 7th place car, and middle of the season rolled around there, and we said we needed a change, so we decided to start driving to Williams Grove. They were racing on a Friday night, and it rained out. We got to Route 30, so we made an abrupt left and headed over to Trailway there, and we ended up winning that night. So we thought we found something, and we did, because after that we started just picking points off, because I think at that point in time we were 5th in points, 130 points back or something like that, and we just started picking off points there, and with 3 or 4 weeks to go, I think we were still out 40 points or 50 points, and we just had really consistent weeks over there, and then last night we hit it and we won again, and like I said, I don't think I didn't think at the time we had a realistic shot at getting the points over there. But like you said, Mike Bittinger had mechanical failure. I think he blew a motor up, and Kyle Moody, he ended up running 8th that night. So if we would have ran 2nd and didn't win, we would have ran 2nd in points. But we ended up winning the race and took the points with it.
Did you have any ideas as the night was going on where Kyle was at? I'm sure you, because the caution came out, if I remember correctly, lap 8 for Mark, and then he was subsequently went into the pits. Were you aware where Kyle was at on the track at the time?
I didn't until about 4 to go. I always try to scan the track when I'm coming out of the turn. I try to scan, so you see going to the next turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I just barely started seeing him, off in the distance to where I was coming up on those guys, because we were pretty quick that night, and we checked out pretty good. And, I just started seeing them, but, you don't know where everybody else is, but I knew we were fast enough and far enough ahead I could start looking. And I counted about 4 cars in front of him. So I wasn't quite sure he was back to 8th or anything like that, but I knew we had a good bit of spots on him.
And for some of our fans, Tim, that are listening that have not been to Trailways, how would you describe racing sprint cars there on a Friday night?
I tell you what, that's probably some of the toughest racing that I've ever got to witness or participate in. It's so quick, so fast-paced. It's such a short track. You're always in traffic. You're elbow-to-elbow with people. That's the kind of racing I like to do. It's fast. When there's a cushion, you have two grooves, and they're really good at doing that. They have a front-wheel drive division over there that really brings the moisture back. So it's fast on, always a cushion, and it's fun. It really is a good racetrack, and if you get hooked up around the top, you're pretty quick usually.
Well, Tim, so after the championship at Trailways, you also picked up the championship over your uncle by 30 points at Lincoln Speedway. I wonder, sort of tongue-in-cheek, Thanksgiving dinner, did you ask your uncle to pass the coleslaw and remind him that you were the points champion this year?
Yeah, all year long we were busting each other's chops a little bit on that deal. The first week over there, he passed me with a couple laps to go and, took the win from me. And, it was my fault, and I was a little disappointed in myself for that. But we kind of both, we talk weekly, at length on the phone about racing and, life and family and all that, but primarily about racing, obviously. But, all year we're like, 1-2 all year long, and that's what we wanted. And, early on in the season, Todd Rittenhouse was the point leader, and, I ended up passing him, and then Jeff ended up passing him in points. And it came down to that last race, and it was a time trial show, and we went out probably mid-pack or something like that, and, we ended up clicking off 2nd quick, and he was, I think, 3rd or 4th quick, so we both started in the front of the feature, and it came down to that. It was a nail-biter, but, I'm certainly glad we pulled that off.
You also pulled it off with 0 wins, and you were telling me this coming up your 8th year here in 2013, you have yet to win at Lincoln. Is that one of the major goals for this season, is to get that win at Lincoln?
Yeah, and you always go to win. I mean, you always go, but if you're a high point man, the handicap system, the way it works, it's really tough, especially being a support division. If you have a high point average, you're always starting 10th, 11th, 12th. So it's really tough, and at that particular track, it tends to get rubber down halfway through the race, and it's follow the lead around the bottom. But You know, with these new tires, hopefully some, you know, some new features come into play, and we can get up and have a curb there, and see if we can get up around the top maybe, and have some more opportunity to pass a little bit.
Overall, what are the goals as you approach this year in terms of being a two-time track champ, or I'm sorry, a two-track champion from the year before?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like you said, the goals obviously are to win. I really want one at Lincoln. I want to win, you know, more at Trailway. You know, I love racing there. I love racing at Lincoln. I'd like to get one at the Grove. I mean, we're going to try to hit a couple Williams Grove shows, and I know it's tough when you don't race there every week, but, I mean, everybody else is in the same shoes you are, and, you know, the same kind of car and stuff like that. So everybody has the same opportunity. I'd like to get a couple different tracks this year. I'd like to hit one at Susquehanna. It'd be nice to get one there, Susquehanna Speedway. But that's the thing. You know, you win a championship, and you obviously the next thing is to win more races. You can never have enough of those.
So I take it then you'll be back to defend both championships?
That's the plan right now.
Any other plans outside of 358s? Will you eventually take a look at 410 someday? Would you look at hitting some of the other tracks, such as Port Royal and Sealands Grove? Sealands Grove, of course, runs it weekly, but and you're racing down Lincoln. But any thoughts about running at some of the other tracks that do run 358s throughout the year?
We usually try to hit at least one Port Royal show a year. Like I said, we race at Susquehanna when they race. It'd be nice, but we have one motor right now, primarily just one car. We have two frames, but primarily just one car, and enough spares to put it together if we have, you know, something happens. But, you know, with the one motor thing, it's you know, and it's pretty much family funded. So, yeah, one motor is tough on the bigger tracks. So we try to limit ourselves there because we're always, you know, racing about 30, 35 races a year, so you don't want to get too many races on that motor. But to answer your question about the 410 thing, we tried a couple of times 2 years ago, I believe it was, to race some 410 stuff. We rented a motor from the Dietrichs, Dan and Billy and Danny. And, you know, I thought we had a good time. We know we can do it. Just the financial, you know, burden of it is the tough part. We were really looking forward to it this year, but, you know, everything didn't come into place. So, I mean, that might be our 2014 goal, you know, if we can continue on having some success there.
Well, Tim, we want to thank you so much for taking time out to join us here on our Pennsylvania Sprint Car Special as we get ready for the opening of the season. But we want to wish you and the rest of the Wagaman crew all the best of luck in defending both the Trailway and the Lincoln 358 Sprint Car Champion. Also want to wish you a safe racing season.
Well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate you having us on, and hopefully we can do some good here in 2013.
Sure thing. Tim Wagaman, the 2012 Lincoln and Trailway Speedway 358 Sprint Car Track Champion, joining us here on our Pennsylvania Sprint Car Preview Show. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this. Championship race teams like Donnie Schatz depend on quality parts to make it through a season. That's why they and other champions rely on Rod Ends from Rod End Supply.
Hi, this is Bob Douglas, and for 23 years, we have been delivering the best quality rod ends on the market with on-time deliveries and customer service second to none. And this philosophy will continue.
To learn more about Rod End Supply, call them toll-free at 1-800-284-2902 or visit them online at rodendsupply.com. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
Hi, this is Bad Chad Layton. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show's podcast of the Central Pennsylvania Sprint Car Preview. Special thanks to our guests, Pat Kennan, Tim Wagaman, and Greg Hodnett for joining us here on the first of two parts. Coming up this week, we'll talk with Chad Layton, Danny Dietrich, and Frankie Herr. That's all coming up right here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.